ragazzi, questo fenomeno è Al Steel, americana Al Steel, torniamo a ballare con lei.
Stored on the shelves of my memory, my thoughts are in perfect array. My life runs smooth like a highway. Billboard, show me the way. My way of life has the glamour of an artificial neon ad. I need overwhelming information for a complete shopping list. Acrylic colors oscillate my eyes when I walk down a drugstore aisle. Stored on the shelf.
Hey there, folks. So, thank you so much for joining us. Next up, Sudden Radio Theater, and we have Tiki Tiki Cha Cha Club, or is it just Tiki Cha Cha Club? Yeah, just one tiki, but more than you could ever imagine in one show. So you're listening to KBOO Portland, and signing off from the Union of the Time Thieves.
Straight up, that's right. It's 11 o'clock. It's time for the Sudden Radio Project. We want to welcome Alice Hall and Webb Hall, who just flew in, and God, are their arms tired. And they're visiting here from the East, and we hope they like this archive edition of the Sudden Radio Project that we got out of the basement. We'll fade out the Union of Time Fees and go.
Will you just leave me alone for a minute?
No way.
Forget it.
Look at this crap. You call this writing?
Look, I've only got 36 hours to come up with something for the show.
That's no excuse.
Dead air would be better than this.
I was trying to write something different.
But it's not different.
It's like so been done before, it's sick.
You totally ripped off Fellini's 8½.
And Six Characters in Search of an Author.
And Breakfast of Champions.
And it's not even a good imitation of any of them.
Well, why don't you all come up with something then?
What?
You know, these people might be right.
You kidding?
We're just voices. You're the writer, bucko.
You tell us what to say.
So write something.
And it better be good. I'm walking.
Me too.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, I'm gone.
Okay. Hold on a second.
I can't believe he had me say bucko. That is so lame.
Can you even read that?
All right. Okay. This is yours. And you read that when the music fades. Okay. Got it? And music up.
This is from 2003.
Welcome to the Sudden Radio Project, month 14 on the march.
What a horrible pun.
Quiet, please.
Thanks for seeing me today, Dr. Froud.
All right.
Well, This is actually the first time I've ever been to see a therapist. But I think your secretary misunderstood me a bit. See, I'm not here for me. Mm-hmm. No, see, it's really about my friend. Well, she was embarrassed to come. Because, you see, well, she's lost her head. And I've been trying to help her as best I can. Because I've known her ever since I was a little girl. And I was very lonely. And my mother brought her home to play with me. And we hit it off right away. And we became fast friends. And actually, she ended up moving in with us. And, well, to this day, we are still together. No, not like that. No, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that. No, it's all very platonic. I mean, we do share the same bed, but it's, you know, we just feel better, you know, being together. I mean, we've always gone to the same schools, you know, through grade school, and a lot of girls brought their best friend to school with them, you know, had their best friends there, and it was so great to just be able to talk to somebody, to be able to tell somebody your deepest, darkest secrets without them laughing at you or judging you. Or fortunately, we were able to go to the same junior high school and high school, and college was a little tough. I mean, some of the other girls started to, like, giggle because we were always together and sign up for the same classes. And at work, when I bring her in with me, I hear the guys, you know, whispering, and I know what it is. It's, they look at her and they think, boy, too bad Gracie's not that gorgeous. You know, I mean, what a body. I'm getting off the point here. Her problem. Well, right. Well, she, like I said, she's lost her head. Her mind, too. Because her mind is in her head. And, you know, her head is lost. So is her mind. And I have helped her look for it. Because, you know, well, she can't really look for it because her eyes are in her head, and her head is missing. She kind of tries to grope around, you know, but it's not too successful, and she's afraid of getting a little rug burn on her butt. I mean, you'd think somebody as beautiful and popular as she, that she wouldn't be so vain, but I mean, her body, she has the most beautiful breasts. They are so perky and perfect. Between you and me, Doctor, I think they're plastic, but don't tell anybody. And she has these long, slender legs and this little teeny tiny waist. And she is so vain that she will not even wear flat shoes. She has worn high heels so much that her tendon or her Achilles heel or whatever that is, like in the back of your ankle there, has shrunk. So her feet are in this permanent incline position. And so fun. Great, you know, and I try to force her to put on sneakers sometimes for her to go jogging, because I just want to see her just once, you know, work a sweat. But no. I mean, here's a woman. She is over 50 now. Perfect. Flat skin. No wrinkles anywhere. And permanent blushy cheeks. And she has had every job you can imagine. She started out as a stewardess when they were called that, and then, of course, they bumped it to flight attendant. And before I knew it, she was flying the airplanes, and then, without even going to school, she was the first female astronaut in space. Do you believe that? Now, she's already off fighting the war. I can't believe it. No. Well, no. Not literally, of course. I mean, she's just waving her American flag around, and because she was voted All-American Girl. So, I'm getting distracted. I know that I'm really not talking about the problem, though. The problem is, like I said, she's lost her head, and I have tried to help her find it. I mean, it's not in the kitty litter box. I checked in the garbage disposal. I didn't even find a scrap of hair in there, not an eyelash. So I know I didn't accidentally put it down there. And well, now she's starting to accuse me, like maybe I did this deliberately, like I ripped her head off on purpose or something. And you know, granted, maybe when I was a little girl, I thought about it, but I never did it. And I had other girlfriends that they did it to their best friend, just like ripped their heads off. And sure, most of the time they'd put them back on, unless it got lost. But my friend, she refuses to believe that I have nothing to do with it. She thinks I might be a little jealous or something, angry at her for some reason, like because of the fact that when we go on trips, say, to Malibu, that I have to do all the driving. I mean, if she wants to take her own car, she'll get in the driver's seat and put her hands on the wheel. But do you know that she makes me stand behind her car and push it the whole way there? She's a cheapskate. She won't even splurge for the gas. So then we get to Malibu, and she'll be inside waiting for her boyfriend Ken to show up. And she will not even let me go inside the house. How cruel is that? But of course, every time she has to change her clothes, which is like 4, 5, 6 times a day, she won't do it herself. She will call me in there to help her. But she won't even let me go all the way in the house. All she'll do is let me put my hands inside. After everything I have done for her, all the clothes I have bought for her, all the shoes I have found for her. I mean, she came to me once so upset. She said, "Gracie, look, I've got cellulite." And I told her, I said, "Don't worry, it's only a little bit of cat chew." I mean, what kind of friend is this to accuse me of ripping off her head? Is that fair? I mean, she's had the same boyfriend all these years and Ken still comes around even though she's only a body. I can't tell you how many times I've been only a body. So what do you think I should do? Oh. Well, yeah, I can come back tomorrow. No, my friend won't come with me. No. Well, you know, she's so famous. You know, she thinks she's got this image to protect. She wouldn't dare step foot in a therapist's office. I'll be here tomorrow. Thank you. That little bitch.
It is the first great radio station of the new year and the last great station of the previous year, You must be a member, says Jay Doberman of the Village Void. Portland Radio Community and Generous Membership Productions are proud to present La Caboo in sumptuous stereo with an international cast including Isabelle Huppert.
Mon frère vient de divorcer ma mère. Est-ce que tu me partiras si je fais l'amour avec lui?
Isabelle Huppert, the illustrious French star who wooed audiences in Ingmar Bergman's It Must End Badly, now comes to the air in the community-driven La Caboo by the acclaimed interregional director Marek Kowalczyk, whose recent triumph, Megahertz of the Heart, took the Palme d'Ace Award at Cannes.
Je t'aime ce soir. Ou peut-être je t'aime pas. Tu es marxiste, un membre de la Caboo. Ou enfin, tu n'as rien d'intérêt.
Isabelle Huppert. Pauline Leake of the New York Post says, her beauty melts through the radio. I came, I heard, I came again. I had to join. Isabelle Huppert.
Un café, s'il vous plaît. Un noir, tranquille. Comme notre amour. Tes yeux sont liquides. Comme la couleur dans ma petite robe, bleu ou rouge. Lis-moi de bagnole sous le métro paissant. Il me faut joindre la Caboo. Le soleil en couchant, le soir, le soleil qu'il est vieux, l'amour qu'il est vieux, ennuyant. La radio coopératique, ennuyant.
Isabelle Huppert in La Caboo. She made me become a member. I couldn't not listen, says Vincent Canabines of the Newark Antagonizer. Huppert is community radio, and for the pittance it costs each day to become a member, I don't know why all her adoring fans don't go to La Caboo. La Caboo. They loved it at Locarno. It stole hearts in Toronto. La Caboo. The toast of Cannes, Telluride, Sarasota and Sundance, winner of the coveted Cochlea Award for Best Earplay of a Station in a Western Town, and this year's Grand Jury Prize winner at Gladstone, La Caboo will lure you into its seductive programming. La Caboo.
Tiens mes mains, une fois en plus. Oh Jacques, je veux dire Albert, c'est ça. Quand tu m'embrasses, je veux téléphoner à la Caboo. Quand tu m'embrasses en tes bras, je veux téléphoner à la Caboo. Quand tu me baises là et là et puis oh là, je veux, je dois, il me faut téléphoner à la Caboo. 503-232-88-18 ou 1-877-500-KBOO.
La Caboo. 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KBOO. Godard says, yes, it was, it is, I know, it's there. There was Ray, there was Bazin, there was Flaubert. What do I mean exactly? I mean, but not exactly. La Caboo. From Hood River to Portland, audiences are flocking to La Caboo. La Caboo. An interregional success, a masterpiece of sound experience, a membership-driven, community-based station that will hold you in its grip until your ears sing. Go hear it, feel it, La Caboo.
Deborah Perry, everyone. Deborah Perry from 2003. Here we go.
Okay, hey, great work, everybody.
Yeah, thanks.
I need to use the can.
Smoke them if you got them.
Can I get more than 3 lines in the next piece?
We'll see.
I'm still waiting for that monologue you promised me.
I'm available for whatever you may need.
That's great. I really appreciate that.
Don't give my part away.
Hey, don't cross out my line. Ooh!
What about me?
Look, just be quiet for a second, please. Huh, that was easy.
It's because you went to bed.
If he thinks he'll come up with something better in the morning, he's way wrong.
Welcome to Next Life Reincarnatron. To begin your next life, press start. Spirit scan commencing. Please wait. Spirit scan complete. Please select from the following next life options. For microbe, press 1. For insect, press 2. For reptile, press 3. For avian, press 4. For mammal, press 5. For plant, press 6. For poltergeist, press 9. You have selected poltergeist. You must consult with your afterlife advisor before your selection can be approved. If you have received the approval of your afterlife advisor, please enter the approval code now. Please wait. Processing complete. Your request has been approved. Please step through the vortex on your right. Thank you for using Next Life Reincarnatron. Have a nice life. Welcome to Next Life Reincarnatron. To begin your next life, press start. Spirit scan commencing. Please wait.
Hey, how's the wait?
Not too bad. Seen worse.
Say, don't I know you?
Come on, out of billions of souls, give me a break.
No. I'm serious. Let me think. Let's see. Oh yeah, it was in the Siege of Carthage. You and me were in the Catapult Brigade. Remember that shot that went straight through the...
You got me confused with some other spirit, pal. I was a bear in Siberia.
I see. Well, maybe... Oh, I got it. Sumeria. Your dad was my sister's second wife. Boy, was she a hottie. If she hadn't been my sister...
Unless you mean Sumatra, I'm afraid you're out of luck. I was indulging a tropical mojo around then.
No, I'm a temperate soul at heart. I try and skip the equatorial regions. Except during the... Oh, wait, I know. It was on the shore of the Inland Ocean. We were Bronto brothers. Remember that time we...
Sorry, I had a non-sentient Pleistocene, my man. I chose to lay low, you know, wait for better times.
Better times? Those were the best!
Well, I suppose if you like being really big and dominating the world, sure. Didn't interest me. No intellectual stimulation, just eat, grow, die, maybe fight once in a while.
Takes all kinds, I guess.
Suppose so.
Yeah. How are we doing?
Somebody's sure taking their time up there.
Well, what's the hurry, you know? We got nothing but time, right?
Oh, Jesus.
What?
Whatever you do, don't make eye contact.
May I interest you in a song?
What do you play? Ow!
Well, anything you like, really.
Look, my friend here was deaf the last time around, and the shock of musical instrumentation is liable to start him screaming and crying uncontrollably. So if you'd kindly move along...
Well, I think he'd love to hear the beautiful melodic tones of...
Look, why don't you take your act somewhere down the road before I start screaming and put my foot in your ass? Is that clear?
Well, I suppose some souls are just soulless. Adieu.
Amateur!
Hey, wait a minute. I know where you're from. It was Max's Kansas City in 77. You played drums for the Naked Fuckers when they opened for Receding Dickweed.
Wrong again, my friend. However, you are getting closer. I was a Black Panther in Detroit back then. Maybe I'll see you in the next life.
Yeah, sure.
Is it getting crowded around here or what?
I think it is.
And have we moved at all since we got here? Hey, get the lead out there, for Christ's sake. Coming through. Can I get past, please?
Hey, it's Pete.
What's he up to? Don't usually see him around.
Yeah, last time I saw him was when...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, back then.
Can't hurt to ask. Hey, Pete, how you doing? What's the trouble?
What's the trouble? Were you a fucking rock or something last time?
Well, no, actually, I was...
Shut up and hold still. Homo. Sapien. Fucking Sapien, I thought so. What about your friend? I was also a- Shut it, smarty pants!
Homo. Sapien.
I thought so, arrogant bastards. Come with me.
Pardon me, assholes coming through. Make way for the assholes. Excuse me.
Hey Pete, this thing ain't working.
It's working just fine.
Citation.
Look, I need you to stand aside. I'll explain later. These two scumbags get priority. I apologize for the inconvenience. Can I ask what's going on? Oh, you'll find out. I want you to see for yourself what your kind hath wrought. Step up there, both of you. Hit 9. 000. Now get out of my sight, scumbags.
Alright, all Homo sapiens, please step forward. Make way for the goddamned Homo sapiens, please. All Homo sapiens.
You're probably wondering why I've called you all here.
Is something wrong, Inspector?
Yes. What is the meaning of all this?
Please make it fast, Inspector. Flopsy needs her morning walk. You're such a good dog.
Do tell us, Inspector, please.
There's been a murder.
Murder?
I don't believe it.
Murder? Here? That's not possible.
Yes, it's not only possible, it's a fact. At precisely 11:16 last night...
What is that ruckus?
What is that?
Oh my, such ferociousness.
Greetings, Inspector.
Who the devil are you?
Wouldn't you like to know?
What do you want?
This is how it is, see? You're gonna pick up the phone, see? And the rest of you are gonna keep quiet, see? Here's the number, now dial.
This is highly irregular.
Hello, KBOO.
Hello,
I'll take that. Is this a sudden radio project?
Yes it is.
Well, listen up, smart guy. We're taking the scene hostage, see? And we ain't gonna let it go until you can get someone to call 232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266 and become a member of KBOO. Is that clear?
So what do you...
You're gonna go on the air, see? And repeat everything I say, see? You got that?
Okay, I'm on the air.
Listen up, wise guys.
Listen up, wise guys.
The scene you're listening to has been taken hostage.
The scene you are listening to has been taken hostage.
The hostage takers demand that at least one listener call 232-8818 and make a donation to KBOO.
The hostage takers demand that at least one listener call 503-232-8818 and make a donation to KBOO.
Those numbers again are 232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266.
Those numbers again are 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266.
Any calls?
No.
Starting in 15 seconds, if no one calls, see? The hostage takers are gonna throw one hostage out the window, see?
Hey, boss!
Don't interrupt!
But
shut up! And every following 15 seconds, they're gonna toss another hostage out the window, see? Any calls?
No.
Give the inspector a ride, Bruno.
Do whatever you say, boss.
Any calls?
No.
Then it's c'est la vie for Signor Suave.
Oh no, please, no, that's not necessary.
Say the number again.
503-232-8818.
Well?
Nothing.
Come here, sweetheart.
No. Oh, please, but my father, I'm certainly he'll... Oh!
Say it again.
503-232-8818.
Your turn, wussy boy.
No, please. Oh!
Last chance.
No calls.
Goodbye, Grandma.
Oh, no, but... Oh, goodbye, Flopsy. Oh!
And the dog, too. Any calls?
No.
Well, all the hostages are dead.
No, they ain't, boss.
What?
We're on the ground floor. The hostages landed in the shrubs, stood up and ran off. They're driving off in that limo over there. They's gonna put us away for a long time, boss.
Well, I was only trying to get people to support community radio.
I guess this proves that crime don't pay.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Aurora Colony Vineyards 2015 Jazz Festival, August 9th, with doors opening at 2 p.m. and performances from 3 to 9 p.m. The Aurora Colony Vineyards is located at 21338 Oak Lane Northeast in Aurora, Oregon. Performers include Tony Lincoln, the Ron Steen Band, Picante Latin Jazz, Tom Grant, and many more. Again, that's the Aurora Colony Vineyards Jazz Festival, August 9th, from 2 to 9 p.m. More information about directions and ticket prices can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Ooh, what a little moonlight can do.
Hey, that was really excellent, you guys.
It was decent.
Fresh take was better.
I thought it was derivative myself.
Overwritten.
Too hard to follow.
It needed more emotional depth.
Hey, I worked hard on that piece.
You wasted your time.
Should have gone drinking.
Called your mom.
Gotten some sleep, perhaps.
Or slept with somebody.
Or masturbated.
Okay, fine. If you don't like my stuff, here's a script that John wrote. Why don't you give that a try?
Hey, don't go giving my scripts to your characters. What are you thinking, Todd?
I'm just trying to get them off my back.
You think mine are any better?
Well, your pieces are more fluent and meatier. They're tired of my short lines and abstract concepts.
And weak attempts at irony.
Screw off.
Oh, all right, I'll give it a try. But if the listeners get pissed, you're taking the blame. We're his characters.
They're going to think he wrote it anyway.
Shut up. I don't have to listen to any of your crap, okay? I've got enough of my own. One more peep, and I'm giving you back to him. Got it?
An aroma of jasmine, incense, and garlic from the front seat told me the hack didn't grow up in the stained, bloodthirsty, mean streets of Hedonville like me. But there was an apathetic patina of knowledgeable world weariness clinging to him. Greenish smoke rose from his thin, clove cigarette and wrapped itself around the rearview mirror so that I couldn't see his eyes. I knew the city better, I figured, so when he turned down Chestnut, I said, "Take the park." He just nodded. I covered my chapped lips with a coat of waxy crap that probably had more chemicals in it than the West River. But there was something sensual about it, like having my own private oil massage. I dropped the tin back in my bag. It clinked on the butt of my loaded gun. He looked over, briefly, and I caught the sight of his two lifeless Onyx marbles that must have been his eyes. "Turn here," I said. The house loomed in the night sky like a Lovecraftian gateway to another nightmarish netherworld. We climbed the long serpentine driveway weakly, the transmission groaning in second gear, reluctantly like French aristocracy heading toward the guillotine. Conniving amber light crept out across the black lawn with a false penetrating warmth. The mansion itself was one of those old, familiar pseudo-Tudor castles, an elephantine fabrication of a faux past, probably older than 200 years. In and of itself, a kind of historical document we never had back in L.A. But the blue-blood mustiness felt like rotting carrion to me as a fossilized butler took my coat in the dank, dark hallway. An acerbic north wind threw itself against the ancient lead-lined stained-glass windows. I chuckled. No, I scolded. There is no way that the real world can intrude on this fantasy. I was ushered into a massive, cavernous library with the curt respect of a soup kitchen server calling the next bum. My hard-heeled pumps clacked on the oak floor in a rhythm similar to a cobbler tapping her work. Every inch of the place was lacquered in money, glistening with the smooth, cracked glow of old money. Pendlestone sat on a golden nest his grandmother, Mrs. Lukens, had made for him by becoming the first woman to build and run a steel mill in Jacketsville. This house didn't have the low-wage smell of the furnace, though. It stunk from something else. Presently, the fossil returned, as if to try catching me spitting in the first editions, and I followed him to the old man himself, sitting in a velvet wheelchair next to the window, looking out into the darkness. He was, finally, turned to face me, including the oxygen apparatus that spiraled up into his nose so that he could pretend to be alive. His crumpled face was the color of white that Artemisia used to paint plastered walls, and his green eyes were so removed from the thing that I expected it to pop off like a Mardi Gras mask. His brow narrowed, and those two green slugs looked up at me, the head remaining frozen in its hangdog position. The fossil checked his tubes, tucked in the plaid blanket that kept Pendlestone from slipping out of the chair, and brought the light around to one side, casting Pendlestone in shadow. Then he turned to me.
Shall I fetch you something to drink, ma'am?
Scotch, no ice, thank you. Silently, the butler withdrew. This room was less oppressive than the library. The walls were covered in a dark green shroud of abstract shapes patterned after plant life. There were dark mahogany tables and desks arranged less from aesthetic goals than for ease of the wheelchair. A copy of Billionaire Quarterly sat on the coffee table. There was a general feeling of the place, I don't know, having been searched. It smelled like medicine and hospitals and asparagus pea. After a moment, I became aware that there was some movement from the silhouette of the wheelchair, and it seemed that the old man was trying to raise a shriveled appendage to shake my hand.
Good evening, Mrs. Chevelle. At my age, Miss Chevelle, you don't linger on pleasantries. I'll get right to the point.
At which point he began to cough in a dry, wheezy, pumping rhythm that seemed like someone in the next kitty was trying to stoke the fire with an antique bellows. I could have read all of Jane Austen for the duration of his coughing. The butler entered, placing my drink ceremoniously on a coaster, ornamented with the old man's initials, P.P. Fussed over the wheelchair, negotiated world peace, mowed the front lawn, and retired to his quarters before the chair-ridden curator of Fort Knox halted his hacking aria. I sipped his 17-and-a-half-year-old scotch with all the excitement and optimism of a pre-70s kid of six looking into her easy-bake oven for the first time, and wondered how I could snag the bottle on my way out. Settling myself with blue-collar defiance into a cushioned, blood-colored leather chair, I rolled my eyes over to the old man as if he was my drawing room. What is it?
Something of mine has turned up missing, Miss Chevelle. A letter of supreme importance, of value only to me, you see, but a letter I must retrieve. It is long.
Apparently it was a long-standing lung condition, for he began to cough once more. I knew I had 10 minutes to kill, so I swallowed, walked behind him, searched his desk, put a box of filterless Turkish specials into my pocket, read an article about Jacqueline Dupre, and floated into a different chair.
Miss Chevelle? What? Oh, there you are. As I was saying, the letter is a business-sized envelope sealed with a particular crest stamped into golden wax on the back. It is addressed to me and bears one other mark, a peculiar shape of an abstract crown intertwined with a smiling asp.
Asp?
Asp, smiling. The paper is handmade, unblemished, the color, as I remember, of tusks.
What's in it?
I'd prefer not to say.
Look here, Mac, I said. All my best Radcliffe goes out the window when I'm working. I stood up and took a step closer so that he had to lean back in the chair to see me. And with the authority of a Girl Scout who'd just gotten a new badge, I tossed my hair back so that my barrette came out and flew across the room. You want me to find this so-called valuable dingus of yours? Well, okay. Except that for $2,000 a day plus expenses, I don't grope around in the dark. Tell you the truth, I'd grope around in the dark for a nickel with the right person. My normal fee is $50 a day, plus expenses, but I figured he wouldn't know the difference. Hell, he probably tips the cabana boy more than that at Ramadan. Mr. Pendlestone, there are a lot of nefarious creatures out there on those mean streets. Wet mean streets. Dark, wet, mean streets, I mean. The kind of 10-cent hoodlum you can't get for 10 cents anymore. The kind of two-bit gangster who'd just as soon pluck my eyebrows out with toaster tongs as look at me. Or a chick like me had better know what she's getting into before she sticks her neck out. She'd better know the room before she plays the house, and she'd better quickly get smart before any of those dime-a-dozen rod-packing mamas wises her up, but fast. I don't play the sap, Mr. Pendlestone, for anyone. I might play the harmonica, but that's none of your business. If you want the widget bub, you better clue me into what's in it, because I'm nobody's patsy, see? And I don't care if you buy the Taj Mahal and the Mets in one afternoon. $3,000 a day plus expenses doesn't buy Philippa Chevelle.
I'd prefer not to say.
Well, okay. Have it your way. He'd paid me with a check that Jeeves had in his pocket all along. It reeked of gardenias and sex. I was escorted to the hall, but not before I'd finished the scotch and sampled some of that oxygen. It was pure 100% Rocky Mountain gold. As the fossil was brushing my coat, I nipped into the bathroom, pulled two magazines out of the rack, and there, behind this month's copy of In the Butler's Waistcoat, was the letter. Pendlestone's lost letter. I gave it to Jeevesy. He looked up at me, guiltily as a 4-year-old who'd just had an hour alone with crayons on a white wall. He emitted a low, funereal moan and left me holding my own coat in the foyer as he went in to face the music. I never knew what was in it, nor did I care. Pendlestone could already be a winner, it seemed, but who cares? The night hung over the city like a mauve polyester suit on a Kmart personnel manager. I sat in my dark office with the lights off, listening to the far-off sirens that blared through the din of humanity as if... I say far-off sirens blared! Through the din of humanity as if to warn us that life doesn't change all that much and we'd better pay attention. I leaned back in my chair, plopped my feet on the windowsill, which hurt, and let the acrid industrial monoxide thick breeze come through the window and wash over me. But the stench of all that money still lingered. Down in the street they moved like roaches, scurrying into the night, on the edge of survival, trying to scratch out an existence that gave their meaningless lives meaning. No one could help them. The window was filthy, full of black gunk from the exhaust below. I would have washed it, but I didn't have a rag, or a bottle of window washing stuff, or the energy. And I didn't want to get my hands dirty. You could say, I don't do windows. I don't wipe off the black gunk, even though I often smear it around. But tonight, walking out of Pendleton's opulent nest, I knew that I had successfully turned a smear into a smudge. I poured another glass of wine from the box and sipped toxic night air through it. It's a lousy job, I thought. And you're stupid for doing it. Just stupid. Your mother said you'd amount to nothing, just like Uncle Ernie, and so you had. Tomorrow, I must get the classified ads and see if I can get a real job. The pavement was wet. Colored lights and puddles reflected optimism, hope, dancing. What did it matter? We were all gonna die anyhow. Music wafted through the streets. Far away, a woman was laughing, was screaming. A baby was crying upstairs. There was a car crash in the next block. Mugelbaum's department store was on fire. But I was content somehow, pleased.
like a dark angel at what God had mistakenly wrought. I took another drink. And...
Exotic truth and revelation.
Madame Proboscis, I need your help.
Do come in, my son. How may I assist you?
Well, madam, I've been experiencing a prolonged period of extreme karmic trauma and psychic distress.
Yes, I see. Sit down. Let me see your hands. Most unusual.
What is it, madam?
The lines on your palm are in the shape of a radio wave.
Well, I've never noticed that before. What does it mean?
I'm not quite certain. We must consult the cards. Your first card is a KBU membership card. I should say an expired KBU membership card. My son, you have obviously failed to call 503-232-8818. Or 1-877-500-CABLE to renew your membership.
Well, I guess I...
Silence! I'm working here. Your second card is a credit card. It is not expired. It is clear what you must do, my son, if you wish to alleviate your spiritual distress.
Anything, madam, anything!
You must dial 503-232-8818 and make a plastic donation to your community radio station before the spirits eat your psyche alive!
I'll do it, I swear!
Good boy. Let's look at one final card. It's a birthday card. You haven't sent a card to your mother, have you? No. My Matilda.
This is the life, isn't it, honey?
Yeah, the best.
A year or so ago, I bet you never would have thought it'd be like this.
No, I...
We've been through...
It's over now. Let's not talk about it.
Why not?
Because you're drunk.
Just come here.
Stay away from me, or I'm calling the police.
You wouldn't dare.
Why do you do this?
Because I love you. You whore.
Fuck you!
Whore!
I am not a whore.
Yes, you are.
I've never loved anyone but you.
Oh. Really?
Well, yeah. Really.
Well then, are you busy Saturday?
I promised Jeremy I'd...
Oh.
He's taking me to see Saturday Night Fever.
Hmm.
Have you seen it?
I don't really want to.
You'll like it, honey. Even your brother liked it, and he hates everything.
I'm not interested.
You're never interested in anything.
I guess I don't see what the big fat Greek deal is.
It'll be fun.
Let's stay home.
Let's dance.
You mean like you and me?
No, me and Andy Gibb. Of course you and me.
Sure. What about Jeremy?
Who cares about Jeremy?
I care because I freaking paid the guy $10,000 for that piece of shit car.
You're the one who wanted to buy American.
You're the one who said, maybe Jeremy will cut us a deal.
He's our friend.
He's your friend. So-called friend.
What's that supposed to mean?
I heard you went all the way with him.
No. No, I didn't. I swear to God I didn't.
He said after the movie you went home and your parents were out of town.
Yeah, and he dropped me off and he left.
And that was it?
Yes.
And that was it, baby!
Congratulations, honey.
Can you believe it? 50 grand!
I'm so proud of you.
This calls for a celebration.
Happy anniversary!
Happy anniversary!
10 grand years!
Whoa.
What? Surprise!
This is great.
It was Jeremy's idea.
Congratulations, folks. Cheers.
To Kansas State.
To Kansas State.
What? I'll be back for Thanksgiving.
That just seems so long.
I'll miss you.
I'll miss you too.
I love you.
I love you too.
I still love you, goddammit! Would you open the door, please? Honey! Please? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It won't happen again.
It happened again.
Oh, honey.
It's okay. I'm all right.
Why didn't you call me?
I don't know. By the time I got to the hospital, there's nothing you could have done.
We'll try again.
I don't know if I want to.
It's all right. You don't have to decide right now. Take your time. Think it over.
I've thought about it. And?
And?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Oh, honey, I love you so much.
I love you.
You love him, don't you?
Do we have to go through this again?
Answer the question.
My parents are in California.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Can I come in?
Sure. Can I get you a beer?
I'll take one. Me too.
Me three.
Count me in.
All right. I'll bring another round.
Stop looking at her like that.
Like what?
You know.
What are you talking about?
I can't see you anymore.
Can I ask why?
Because I'm tired of lying to him.
But you still have feelings for me, don't you?
I like you a lot, but I love him.
The guy who left you for Kansas?
He didn't leave me.
Well, where is he then?
Honey? Are you home? Hello? It's me. Honey? Could you give me a hand with the... Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, oh, that was so good. Oh, I needed that so bad.
My pleasure.
You've never said that before.
Said what?
It's my pleasure.
Well, it was. What's wrong?
I found him on the floor in the kitchen. They just took him into surgery. I didn't know who else to call.
Will he be all right?
He didn't seem to care, really.
Oh, yeah?
He just sort of shrugged and said...
What?
It ain't over yet, baby.
So you've stopped seeing him. Finally.
Yes. I broke it off last night.
For good. I'm sorry for all the times I lied about it. It's done.
It wasn't your fault.
Maybe if I'd been there.
There's nothing you could have done. He's at peace now.
Thank God someone is.
Hey, wait, where are you guys going? We still need to record the credits.
Read them yourself.
Fuck that!
I'm done with this.
Come on, it'll only take a couple more minutes.
Oh, all right,
yeah, all right, here, fine. Christ.
Here, you read this, and this is yours, and okay, music up.
You've been listening to the Sudden Radio Project, Month 14, On the March.
I can't believe you kept that title.
Shh! Contributors to this episode include...
John Severin.
Todd Greblow.
Emily Young.
Heather Andrews.
Robin Jackson.
With additional contributions from Andrew Stelzer, Deborah Perry, and Marguerite Scott.
Tune in Monday, April 28th from 11 to midnight for the next edition of the Sudden Radio Project.
KABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor, along with North Portland Community Building Group, Proper, of the We Can Do It Together community concert. Local politicians, community activists, faith groups, and artists will join in a day of unity, song, and prayer in Kenton Park on Saturday, August 8th, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. This concert will feature a variety of local artists that will rally for unity in this time of unrest. Again, that's the We Can Do It Together community concert, Saturday, August 8th from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Kenton Park at North Kilpatrick and Delaware in Portland. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Stay tuned for the Tiki Cha-Cha Club.
Let's put on the show.
Olé, olé, it's show time.
In the tiki, 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 tiki room. In the tiki, 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 tiki room.
All the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki, 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 tiki room.
Welcome to our tropical hideaway, you lucky people, you. If we weren't in the show starting right away, we'd think the audience too.
All together in the tiki, 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 tiki room. In the tiki, 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 tiki room.
All the birds sing word and the flowers croon.
In the tiki, 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 tiki room.
The
boys in the back are called macaws.
Because of their claws?
No, because they're macaws. And our fine feathered friend is a jolly toucan. And toucan sounds better than one toucan can.
In the tiki 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 room. In the tiki 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 room.
All the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room.
All the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room. All the birds sing words and the flowers croon. In the tiki 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 room.
That match out of your pocket and you wipe it real quick across that dull surface over there. That's flaming up. Flame on! I'm almost on fire here. Let me crawl into the studio one more time and find that big chair in the corner. Wheel it over here. Oh, here it comes. Let's get up and crawl in there. All right, now I'm sitting in that big chair and being here now. Where's that? Oh, that's right. It's that wacky cha-cha club. No, it's some call it the tacky cha-cha club, but I never have. Serious. Never took it lightly. Tongue in cheek. Or the hippie cha-cha club. It is a summer of love in Portland and elsewhere. Okay. Let's quit fantasizing and get down to the reality of the Tiki Cha-Cha Club. Taking you to faraway places and bringing them home to you right here at the Tiki Cha-Cha Club.